I'm always trying to pray the Lord will direct the services. And so tonight, I really believe God spoke to me. I feel really good about being in church tonight. Yeah, it may be a little bit unusual service. We may do some sharing later on. I'm going to read you quite a few verses and tell you what really triggered what I'm going to do tonight. But I want to go to Malachi, first of all, chapter 4. And not just tonight. I don't know how it'll work tonight, but I want to do more of this. Old Baptist used to have what they call experience meetings. That's when people told about what God had done for them. They told experiences. And now Brother Casey had a paper. He had two papers. One of them was the Primitive Baptist that mainly had doctrinal articles in there based on the scriptures. And then he had a paper called For the Poor. And For the Poor was mainly you're talking about Christian experiences. I know Brother Bobby Pope told me, even as a young fellow, that he would read those and just rejoice is the way that God worked with people. He said, that kind of touches me. A little country boy like Brother Bobby, they were probably pretty poor. He'd get that paper in every month before the poor, and he'd read those experiences of those folks about how God had dealt with them and just rejoice. And so, let me read you what I want to read you about that, first of all. Then I want to tell you what I'm really my aim is. Over in Malachi chapter 4, verse 16. I just love this scripture. Malachi chapter 4, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord that thought upon his name. So God's people who fear the Lord, they talk to each other about the things of the Lord, and God liked that because they were really edifying each other and also glorifying his name as they just speak to each other. I hope we can learn how to do that a whole lot in the future. But here's what I got in mind tonight. I want the Word of God to come to us in power. And so I'm going to give you some scriptures, and then I want to talk about some experiences, and I hope you might want to share some experiences. And what triggered this, I mentioned this morning in passing in my sermon, I was talking to Danny Farrell down at the Immediate Ripley, and we're around the table talking. And so Danny just mentioned Gerald Wallace was there. Gerald Wallace, the brother, has a Wallace's son, and he's just recently come back from a long backsliding life. And he's really on fire for God now. He and Danny used to be buddies before they were both sold to the Lord. And Danny said he remembered he was about 13 years old when Coy Wallace, who was Brother Hassel Wallace's daddy, who was really a very well-known preacher among the old Baptists in this part of the country, he said he can remember being in New Salem Church one time, and Brother Coy Wallace was preaching on the Song of Solomon about the beauty of Jesus Christ and how he rejoiced in that. And he still remembers that. Danny's probably way up in his 60s now. He still remembers that experience. Well, that triggered one I told you about a lot of times. I don't know how old I was. I was probably 14, 15, 16 years old. But I was at Indian Creek Church at Brighton, Tennessee, which is north of here a little bit. And old brother Walter Johnson, I'll never forget this. Well, I got a sound of mine. Old brother Walter Johnson, he just got up and read the scripture. And I said, I just never forgot that. It hit me so hard. And I didn't know it was in the Bible. I'll read it to you. And it's over in Isaiah 32. So I just begin to rejoice. I just begin to rejoice all the place. Just a kid going to church and not expecting much probably. That's a shame. I didn't expect much, but I probably didn't. And Brother Johnson read the scripture, and I began to just rejoice all the place. And so the Holy Spirit brought to my heart with power, and I hope he's going to do that with us lots of times in our lives. But he just read this. I mean, I tell you what. It's just two verses, but listen to this right here. I just rejoiced all over the place. I knew he was talking about Jesus Christ. He just read it. He was not eloquent. He was about like me, about halfway tongue-tied. But he just read this. I mean, I just rejoiced. The Holy Spirit had to be there. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. And princes shall rule in judgment. A man shall be a hiding place for the wind, a cover for the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, to the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Man, what a text. And I just almost shouted. So the Holy Spirit had to be in that. You know, the whole Bible is that good. We just don't get it most of the time. So let me read you a couple of scriptures, and then we'll see if God may lead you to share some experiences. Let's look over just a few scriptures, and I want you to be praying. The Word of God will start coming in more power to our souls. Got quite an array of scriptures here I'd like to read to you. Over first in 1 Thessalonians. Several scriptures in Thessalonians here. Okay, here's chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. This is how I hope things will happen at Great Chapel. And that comes in different ways. Some of it can be dramatic, some of it won't be dramatic, but it'll be effective. All right, first, that's only 1, 5. I'll start at verse 4, why not? Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. That's a good verse, isn't it? The gospel come that way to us. Power and the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. Then in verse 10, he said this, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he had raised from the dead, even Jesus. No, that's not the one. Verse 9 is what I want. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These people turn from idols to serve the living and true God. And so if the gospel come in power, we'll be turning to some of our idols also to serve the living and true God. And then right across the page over here, look in chapter 2, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you see it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That word of God would have affected people's lives. And Paul was thrilled so much he didn't ever quit thinking about it. I mean, he's praying about it. Then also in Colossians 1:6, and Brother Dickie Hobby Watch mentioned this in one of his sermons, more than one of his sermons at Ripley this week. In Colossians chapter 1, and verse... Okay, verse 6. I'll start in verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, through the grace of God and truth. He is thrilled the gospel had brought forth fruit in the lives of those Colossian saints. All right, then over in Acts chapter 19, this is one of my very favorites. Some big things happened here. I'm not saying big things will happen all the time. Sometimes some things will be big, some things may not be big. I just want to say the Lord move in His Word. But let's read a little bit in Acts chapter 19. And I'll start at verse 17. Acts 19:17, and I'll read down through verse 19. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Epaphras, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also used curious arts, just magic and stuff like that, which was probably tied in with demonism. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That's really something. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I love that, don't you? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's really something. That'd be like some person that had a big collection of records, ungodly records or CDs or something, and just destroyed them because they were not appropriate to have around. So the word of God, it did something. And then a few more. Look over 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul's speaking about the gospel here, and it'll be obvious here. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but us which are saved is the power of God. It is the power of God. not just some kind of lecture, is the power of God to the people who are saved. And along with that, one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 1:16. You all know that one. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just live by faith. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believeth. That's a great verse. And then two more, and I'm going to get on to something else. Over in Jeremiah 23, this is good too. This is the only Old Testament scripture I'm going to use. But Jeremiah 23, in verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? It's going to break some old hard hearts up, isn't it? It's like a fire and like a rock. He said the word of God is. And then finally, you've heard me use this lots of times, and I'm going to use this for my last scripture talking about the word of God, but this is a great scripture in Psalm 119, in verse 50. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word has quickened me. It's not talking about getting life. Usually the word quickened means to give life. It does not mean that every time, in the, especially in the book of Psalms. But you read Psalm 119, you know it doesn't. And I'll look it up in Hebrew anyway. It can mean revive. That's what he's talking about here. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word has quickened me. Now, the word of God quickened Danny Farrell when he heard Brother Coy Wallace preach. And the word of God quickened me, revived me when I heard old Brother Walter Johnson read that. And I'm going to give you a couple more examples, and I hope you might share some examples. I can give you examples from my life for a long time, but I won't because I've done it before. I'll give you just a few. But I don't think I'll embarrass Sue Down. But one time she got quickened, big time. We were down in that debate we had that Mike Spriggle had with the Church of Christ man in Boonville. And I got really excited, and the reason I got excited was the truth of being challenged. And I didn't realize how precious the truth was to me until it got challenged. And I'm not very fast on my feet, but I'm pretty fast on my seat. So old Mike's fast on his feet. He was. He'd go to the Lord now. And so when this guy would come up with the scripture, my mind got working, and my heart got working, and my adrenaline got working, and my spirit got working. And I was writing stuff as fast as I could get it and passing it on to him. I'm fast on my seat, not on my feet. I probably would have been any good up in that debating. I probably would have not done well at all. But I was good on my seat, and I didn't know. I was moved. It wasn't just a big debate like a battery thing. It could have been challenged, and my soul was moved. Well, on the way home, so then I just went nuts. I know you remember that. She had a flashlight out. She got her Bible out, and she would look up scriptures, and she was going at it because she was stirred to her soul. She stirred to her soul. One time, Laura Elliott did the same thing. She had Laura join her back then. She joined Grace Chapel. She was a good member, and she fell away. She got real cold. She just quit coming almost. So one night about midnight, she called me. And she was so excited, she went to an Armenian revival. And I kept getting an altar call and begging people to be saved. And that just got her so much. She said, Brother Zach, I could not believe the things they said about my Savior. She got stirred up, and she made a comeback, and she got going again. So she got stirred up. And then one more I'm going to tell, maybe two more, and then I'm going to quit about myself. I'm hoping some of you may want to share tonight, but I want you to be praying, whether you share or not, that God would come to us with power with His Word. This is one that I never will. I know God let this happen to me. The worst failure I've ever made in my life is a terrible. I heard preachers talking about these failures. I've only had one. I hope I don't have any more, unless God's got some reason for it. Like Andrew the other night confessed, you know, he said, I'm struggling. Pray for me. He did the right thing. He prayed, and the Lord then turned him loose. Like, y'all remember that. And he learned the hard way that is, if you don't have the Lord, you're just like walking in mud to try to preach. Well, Brother Don Ellis was a good friend of mine from Indiana, and he wanted definitely for God to bring revival to that part of the country, which was really in a cold spiritual state. I never forget, he called me one time. In fact, Judy and I were excited. I went up there one time. He called me. Hardly knew me. He had met me one time in Evansville, Indiana. And he said, Brother Zach, can you come up to Indiana and help us? And I didn't want to go. Judy was the one that had the courage, not me. It was real icy and snowy, and so I just turned him down until my wife in the background says, we need to go, we need to go. So I said, yeah, we'll come up there. It's kind of an exciting time. We'd like to have a couple of wrecks. Now, I really think we have an angel to help us one time. I'm not kidding you. We were in the land between the lakes, I drive a Volkswagen, which does not have a logo on the front, a logo on the back, so there's no heat up there. I didn't know that ice had wedged between our fenders and the tires, so I couldn't pull out of the skid. When the land between the lakes, we went to a terrible skid. I tried to pull out and couldn't do it, and I just began to just shout. And we moved across this snowfield and almost went over a cliff, and all of a sudden the thing just sat down just like that. I know an angel pushed that thing down. But I was stuck. What am I going to do? And so help me, she'll tell me, so I'm not lying. Three or four big Forest Rangers came there, and they picked that cotton picker up and put it back on the road. That could have been angels. I think they probably were. I don't wear an angel always wear a fortune service uniform or not. But anyway, I'm kind of getting, when we got there then, Brother Ellis wanted me to start going to homes and preaching. He said, let's just go to homes and preach. We want God to send a revival. Because I preached on revival, I preached on prayer down there at Evansville. He heard me. He took me seriously. How about that? Take the preacher seriously. I'm not as much as you, but I'm just like you are. You know, well, we believe God can bring revival. We believe in prayer and all that. Let's go home and eat. And I mean, we're that way. We're human beings. I'm not fussing at you about that. We need the Spirit of the Lord. But Brother Dallas took me seriously. That's why he called me. And so what we thought about was Paul was trying to go preach, and the Lord wouldn't let him go certain places. And a man from Macedonia said, come to Macedonia and come over and help us. Remember that in the book of Acts? And Paul went there in the church of Philippi as a result of that. Well, we know God works the same way today, so we consider it to be a Macedonian call. So I get up there, and I'm having a wonderful liberty. We're going to home. I'm having just fun. I mean, I'm having a ball preaching. So then the last appointment was at Sister Mary Chastain's house. Paul Chastain, her husband, had died. I never did get to meet him, but I heard about him. He must have been kind of like a Hassel Wallace in that part of the country, kind of a pioneer. Everybody just revered the name of Paul Chastain, said he was a man ahead of his times, but he had died. So Sister Mary Chastain is there, and there's Ralph Chastain, her son, who's a farmer, big farmer, and all that big old grain mess stuff up in Illinois, and Sue, his wife, and a bunch of little kids. So I can't wait to preach. So we get in her living room, and I got my Bible out there. I'm ready to go. And I just can't tell you what happened. I don't know what happened. I just couldn't even think of my name. Now, I know I did something. I'll tell you why I know I did something in a minute. I just couldn't think of my name. I've never been so embarrassed in my life. I want to run and hide somewhere. I don't know what I said. I was walking in mud, sure enough, up knee deep. And that was a horrible experience. Brother Ellison was glad it happened. Here's why he's glad it happened. He thought I was a Superman. But he said he had liberty sometimes he didn't. He thought I always had liberty. So he said, you're just like I am, aren't you? I said, sure, I'm just like you are. So he kind of glad it happened in a way, but I wasn't glad it happened. But it was a terrible experience. But God let me see something behind the scenes. Several years later, I've got how many years, maybe 10 years, I'm at the Cincinnati meeting. A young lady came up to me. She said, Brother Zach, she said, I want to talk to you a minute. She said, you don't know who I am. And I forgot the girl's name now. But she said, I'm a Ralph and Sue Chastain's daughter. She said, you remember that night you preached at my grandmother's house? I said, yeah, I remember. That's the night God converted me. So see, God's working, so we don't even know it. It's not us, folks. It's God doing that. But the Spirit of God can move and work. So let me tell you just one experience, and I've told you a lot of times, but I'll just kick it off and see if you might want to. I'll tell you two experiences, not problems, I quit at that. Oh, Baptist preachers always do that. That's why we know Paul would pray to Baptist. He said over Philippians chapter 3, finally my brother went on for another chapter. But I promise you I'll quit at this one. But God talked to us, and I know he does, and I won't even talk to me. And he did there with Walter Johnson. But one time, Bobby Poe asked me, I was at Whitehaven Church. He said, will you please come and help me start a church? Sister Patty wanted one out here in this part of the country. God put it on her burden. He burdened Brother Bobby. He burdened several people for this church that you're in right now. So Sister Patty, thank God. Bless your heart. I'm not bragging on you, but I'm bragging on God working for you. We have the spirit that you had. It's all you had. Another pioneer in the Great Chapel Hannah, we wouldn't even be here. The Lord had to be in the planning of this church. Just hung on for a long time, hardly anybody here. You just don't know, folks. Don't give up when things are close. Sometimes you have very few people here. Here's why the church in there quit. See, the only two male members were out with Bobby Poe and Tony McAvella. Sometimes Bobby Poe gets so discouraged he won't quit, but Tony wouldn't want to quit. Sometimes Tony gets so discouraged he won't quit, Bobby won't quit. You gotta let both of them quit at the same time, they'd quit. You remember those days? And the young people? They didn't have hardly young people. Debbie McAvella, and of course I got already married Judy, I reckon, by that time. And David and the Poe boys. That's about it. But they hung on. Anyway, though, they got burdened to be a church out in this part of the country. And so I was happy as I could be at White Haven Church. That's the days when White Haven, you could, Ronnie, you remember those days. The spiritual energy was like a 220 current, wasn't it? It's like a 220 current. It's what I believe. Bro Wallace, I've never met a more powerful man than him. He had spent his time, that showed me the value of a full-time ministry. I had to work like everybody else, like you people had to work. And so I'd come in there on Wednesday nights, I'd be just down, and Bro Wallace had been with God all day long. He lifted us up in the heavenly places almost every Wednesday night. That place was thriving. I'm telling you what, we had a big crowd and all that. So I didn't want to leave. I had fun. About half the while from my pastor, I just had coming up under him. I didn't have to worry about any kind of trouble. I didn't know there was any trouble. He took all the blows that pastors take, which I had taken at Red Chapel, thank God, for a long time. But he took a while. I'm out there. And I just, we had a ball. So Bobby said, will you come help me start a church in East Memphis? And I said, I'll pray about it. And I did pray about it, but I kind of forgot about it after I prayed about it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't think I'd do it. So I'm going down to a meeting at Pine Hill Church. And the preacher down there was Avery Land. And Brother Avery Land was a good preacher, but he was a shotgun preacher. Now, y'all don't know what shotgun preachers are, hardly. Not all of them are bad. He had some pretty good shot. He stuck pretty close together. He had a good pattern on it. What I mean, he usually didn't take a text. He just kind of scattered all the Bible. But most of the time, it's really good, believe it or not. He told me one time, I got to tell you something funny about Avery. He said one time, he went to hold a meeting. He said, man, he said, Lord bless me. So I started top one on straight down the bottom. And then that afternoon, I went to another place. I said, oh, some people are here that heard me this morning. And I didn't have one sermon. He said, I started from the bottom, went on up the top. He said, lo and behold, I go so far that night, and there are people in both congregations there. He said, I just started doing it both ways. He was a shotgun preacher. But he was a pretty good evangelist. He baptized a lot of people. But anyway, so I go to Pine Hill Church. Forgot all about my prayer. You talking about good memories? He got up in the stand. He said, I got a text to read to you tonight. That's unusual for Avery Land. And I didn't know this was in the Bible. It's over in Romans 15:20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, that I should build upon another man's foundation. And like God speaking directly to me, I almost didn't stay. I stayed out of courtesy. But I heard what I said, Brother Bobby, I'm ready to go. You know God can speak to you that way? Sometimes he made you think we're not listening. And one more time, I told you I'd give you two, this is it. But you heard me tell this, but I want to tell it again. Maybe it'll refresh your memory, and maybe it'll stir some of you up to share some memories. But Judy and I were flying down to Georgia because I picked to make a trip to India with Jeff Harris. And so we got off the plane, got Jeff's pickup truck. That's back in the days when cell phones were kind of rare, but Jeff had a cell phone. We're heading down to Tipton, Georgia, where he lives, and all of a sudden the cell phone rang, and his daughter calls, said, Dad, you better turn the radio on so something awful happened. Well, that's 911. And so we heard all that. We got out to Jeff's, saw it on TV, just horrified. The planes were all grounded. I couldn't fly back home. I had to get to David McAvell's ordination, so I remember that Jeff took me part way, and then Jeremy, bless his old heart, had an old beat-up car here, and I'm glad it made it, Jeremy. He picked me up, took me down to maybe somewhere in Alabama, and Isaac picked me up and brought me back down to Memphis. We got down to David's ordination. Happy memories, right? They were happy memories. But anyway, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. Should we go to India? We don't know where to go or not. I want to go to the right. Some people say, you go ahead, don't be afraid. Some people said, don't be foolish, you can always go later. And you're not supposed to tempt God. So I was just totally confused. The State Department didn't say we couldn't go, or of course we would be gone. But we didn't know what to do. So I'm pretty agonized about that. So anyway, while I'm agonizing, I go down to Flint River Church to a meeting, and David Powell is preaching the meeting. And me and David always stay up too late if we're together talking Bible. So the next morning I'm sleepy. I'm so sleepy, I had a pinch inside of my thigh to even stay awake. And even that didn't hardly work. That's how sleepy I was. And all of a sudden, he left his text, and David never does that, and read the scripture to you, to me. He read it. I said to me, listen to this. This is Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I'm with thee, and no man shall settle thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And I began to weep when I read that. I have much people in this city. I said, David, I'm ready to go. Jeff. And we went and had a great trip. So I want God's word to come in power. That's all I'm going to share. I can share a lot more, but I'm not going to. And if anybody wants to share tonight, I would really be thankful. If God had blessed you in any way to be stirred up by his word, it doesn't have to be big, but I want God's word to work in our life where we're not just going through the motions. We're really, it's affecting us. It's changing our lives. I'm not asking something that's unrealistic. It doesn't happen all the time, but it all happens some. We all be asking God to give us experiences like this. If anybody got anything you'd like to share, I would love to hear it tonight.
Well, it was actually tonight on the way to church. I've been kind of down all day. I really enjoyed services at Ripley this morning, but I was just kind of in a funk today. And I was driving to church and tried to call my mom. She didn't answer. And I'm really glad she didn't answer because remember Brother Timothy a while ago encouraged me to pray when I'm driving. And so I ended up praying the entire way to church. And it was the sweetest time of prayer I've ever had in my life. And I was crying as I was driving. And it's humbling and incredible, the power of prayer and the fact that we can pray, that the God of the universe allows us direct access to him and even desires us to come to him with our problems. And that's it's the sweetest time of prayer I've ever had. And I couldn't wait to get to church and start singing.
I don't have a dramatic testimony, but I think that I have not had a whole lot of experiences like Brother Zach just described. And some of you may not have either. I think he would amen this, that that doesn't mean that God's word is not coming power in our lives. And I think my testimony would just be the power of the daily word of God that refreshes, that convicts, that shows me Christ, shows me God, and just, you know, fuels my fire and feeds my soul. And it's like he's talked about sermons before, that not every sermon may be what you just call dynamite, but it's probably what you needed for that time. And as a preacher, you know, we're called to preach the whole counsel of God. And so there's some sermons that are hard. They're hard to preach. They're hard to think about. But we can't say, well, I want to hear a sermon on, you know, something that's going to really fire me up and juice me up and get me going. I don't want to hear something that's going to challenge me or convict me or change me. But those things are God's power too, to mold us and shape us. So, I would like to have more times like Brother Zach has had, but I think that he would amen it, that doesn't mean that God's word is not coming power in your life, or my life, that if it has just consistently fed us and strengthened us and convicted us and pointed us to the Lord, that's a powerful thing. So.
Yes, I was kind of looking at a verse in Colossians that I was reminded of during the Ripley meeting when Brother Dickey preached on it. I was looking at Colossians 3:2. It's one that we know very well, but kind of made me think about life, about what is defined as success. People look at life as though you go to school, you get an education, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, and then you kind of do it all over again from a parent's perspective. And if something goes wrong out of that, then it's like it kind of tears everything apart. It fractures that, and you just it's become so easy to become depressed and just like, you know, I'm never going to be what people see as a success. Well, none of that really even matters. Yesterday afternoon, I had a chance to go with Brother Jeff Watkins over to the Greens house, and you know, everyone was just sitting around talking, and they brought up Brother David Wallace and the young man who died in the accident probably about 10 years ago, and he was only 21, and it, you know, God forbid I could be in an accident and die tomorrow, and whatever has been going on in this life, however much money I've saved up, whatever job I have, my, you know, not having a wife or anything, that's not going to matter, and that's going to be completely irrelevant, because this life is just, we're here temporarily. And this verse here, it's such a sweet reminder, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And no matter what we're going through in this life, no matter how lonely we may be or anything, and however, the joy we see, that we're going to see in heaven, is going to be greater than the joy that the most fulfilled person, the joy that their kids or their family or whatever brings them in this life, the joy that they see in heaven is going to be so much greater. And no matter what we're going through in this life, no matter how miserable it may be, the joy we see in heaven is just going to be something we can't even imagine. And it's just this verse just really reminded me of that, and I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
I don't know how long it's been. I've been a member of Grace Chapel, but I remember the sermon that was preached when I joined. Brother Bobby preached on Christ being a successful Savior. And I had been going to hear Adrian Rogers for probably 6 months. You know, every time he spoke, I was there. And I'd never heard those two words connected. And it was powerful, because after visiting here for so long and hearing the truth preached, you know, I finally came to the realization that I didn't think it was true. I knew it was true, and I couldn't, you know, just continue to sit in my seat, you know, any longer and not assent or agree with the truth. So that's what led me to come forward. Just the truth being preached is a powerful thing.
Amen. Well, just Joe kind of reminded me of something from what you preached on today. Just about, and it touched me, and I've had just a few experiences with this. I wish it would happen more. But you said salvation becomes more sweeter to us when God shows us our sins. And I don't know, I guess I've just been mulling on that all day. And like I said, it's happened a few times, but I just how awful sin is, and how to think of it this way, that obviously Jesus is perfect, and I want to be careful how I say this, but it's as if we put our sins on Jesus Christ when we, you know, whatever we do, you know, sins of omission, sins of commission, things we thought or did that we shouldn't have done, and things that we didn't do that we should have done. It's Jesus had to take the guilt for what we did, and for our selfishness, and for our pride, and our lust, and our, you know, complaining and rebellion and all that. And I don't know, that it does make salvation sweeter and kind of hit home more when we see the dirtiness of sin.
I just want to tell the church that my soul has been moved this evening, hearing the times in the past where God has spoken to us in power through His Word, and just hearing Brother Zach tell those stories, and you, brethren, share your stories, has really fed me this evening. And I am thankful that God still works and shows us His power still today. And I hear the words of Brother Zach when he spoke to the Tyler Youth Conference a couple of years ago. He talked about the importance of reading your Bible. I remember him saying, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. He said it very loudly. I won't say it that loud now. And the dear brother behind me, I'll never forget him saying the profound phrase, we would not eat weekly, for we would be weak. And I just, you know, we recognize so much truth, and some of it is so powerful. But if we forsake the reading of the Word, what does that really say about our love for those truths? And I'm speaking about myself. And I would beg your prayers, and I will pray for us, that we would be like those newborn babes and not only desire the Word, I have a desire for the Word, but actually read the letters on the page, you know. that we would eat the Word. That it wouldn't just be a head knowledge, but that we would taste and see that the Lord is good. And I get excited about thinking that the Lord still will work in power through His Word, and I pray that He would do that here at Grace Chapel and continue to.
Speak again, but I just wanted to share this just with what Roy said of how important the consistency of God's Word is and how it can be a blessing to us. Friday, I just had a good start to the day and just not a very good finish to the day, and I'm still in Meredith's going to bed. I'm not really sure what went wrong, but just one of those days where Stephen said the word funk earlier, and we had a busy morning Saturday going to the kids' soccer games and trying to rush to get ready to go to Ripley for their afternoon service. And before I let the girls get out of the car and go to their game before I was going to sit in the car for a little bit, and I just pulled out my little New Testament Psalms and Proverbs and just read Psalm 61, and it just, again, it wasn't something lightning earth-shattering, but it just changed my whole day, because the first part says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, O God. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And I was just struck that I'm not even sure what's been wrong with me the last, you know, 16 hours or what all's going on in my heart, but I was thankful that even though I couldn't really describe or understand what exactly was wrong with me, I could cry out to God. And what a blessing that was. That just was a real blessing to me yesterday. But also, I was going to mention, this is a powerful thing to me. I don't want to embarrass my grandmother, but when she was in the hospital a couple of years ago, and I shared this with Sister Kathy Herbers from Cargill, who's just gotten through with her chemo, and she just talked about how she just didn't really feel God. I mean, your body's just totally out of whack and everything's messed up, and she just didn't feel real, didn't feel like herself. She just didn't feel much alive, really. And how it's hard for her to really pray in those times and read the Word, and she feels like she's kind of fallen out now. You know, she feels normal again and wants to get back to feeding herself with God's Word and prayer. So I was telling her about Grandmama that when Grandma was in the hospital a couple of years ago, we weren't sure if she would make it. She was really sick and down, and I remember when several of us would go to the hospital, I started getting the understanding that before I went to go see Grandma in the hospital, I needed to prepare. What I meant by that was I needed to get in God's Word and get something to give her, because when we got there, she would say, "Give me something, give me something." And she wasn't just saying, "Read me a nice little scripture," because that's protocol. She had a hard time, Grandma, grabbing hold of the Lord and feeling His presence and praying. And she was like this hungry person saying, "Give me something from God's Word." And that was really powerful to me. So I knew that I couldn't just go see Grandma in the hospital unprepared. I had to bring God's Word and have something to give to her. And that was really powerful to me. It also was a blessing to me to know that even when we feel that weak and feel like we cannot even pray or read, that we have others that can help carry us through. And we know ultimately God is carrying us through, but He uses instruments. He uses each of us to help strengthen us when we're feeble and weak like that.
Amen. Amen. Everybody knows I've been sick for the last 6 weeks and without a job. And haven't felt close to the Lord just because I don't, you know, feel well. And trying to trust that, you know, just, I've been praying, Lord, teach me whatever You're trying to teach me through all the, I mean, let me learn whatever You're trying to teach me through this. And anyway, so I had to get an MRI on Friday, and ever since I've heard of Grandma getting an MRI, just like that and getting attacked by a dog are my greatest fears. And so I was just really dreading it, and I put it off a lot. Like Jefferson told me, you know, he kind of liked me to get one, and I just kind of kept on putting it off. And so finally there was a opening, and I needed to go really quickly to Olive Branch. And so rushing down there, and like Timothy was saying, I knew that I couldn't go into it without something. And I texted Tim and asked him to give me some verses, and he sent me Isaiah 40, 21 through 31. And it's just showing the majesty of the Lord. Like it's really, and so many times in my prayers, I just ask for requests. I don't build God up in my mind like I should. And so I think a lot of times my prayers are weak because of that. And so, I mean, in the waiting room, I was just like, I hope they don't call me back for a while, because I just couldn't. I was in awe of the Lord right then. And just reading these verses, and to whom then will you liken me, or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. And lift your eyes up on high, and behold, who hath created these things? And hast thou not known me? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. So I was still really nervous. I went in, and I'm really scared of hospitals, and went in, and there's this huge, really scary looking machine. It's all white, and nobody can go beyond the doors with you, and you go in there, and I was shaking, and he was asking me to twist up the earplugs and put in my ears, and I couldn't even do it. I was like, you're going to have to do it. I'm sorry, I'm shaking. And I was tearing up, and I was trying not to be dramatic about it, but anyway. And horrible, like, you know, the thing is right there on your face. You're very claustrophobic, and really weird noises, and these, anyway, it's just very odd. And I've never, like, Stephen, you were saying, like, I've never even felt that peaceful. I was so relaxed. I was afraid that I would fall asleep, and I just had the best prayer time. Like, I was so excited about my life, and so excited what God would do, and I didn't feel scared that I didn't know the future, and I was almost sad that it was over. Not really sad, but like, I just felt so, like, and I wasn't scared. Like, I said, you know, they could tell me I have a brain tumor. Like, I've had these headaches for 6 weeks, and they won't go away, and I just was kind of excited what my story would be. I don't know what it's going to be. It might be normal, or it might be a really hard journey ahead, but thankfully the test came out great, and that's the praise. But I was not afraid at all, because I was, in that moment, I knew I was so out of control of my situation and so out of control of my future. There's nothing I can do to you know, to make anything fall into place the way I want it to. And anyway, it was just really cool that I felt so weak, and he was so powerful at that time. So it was just kind of exciting.
What you said? Take long, I promise. I just like to see everybody when I'm speaking. I'd like everybody to see me. Not that anything I have to say is necessarily any more profound than what's already gone before, but you know, I've gone through some pretty dark times in my life. You know, we all go through some pretty dark times. I've been through some pretty especially dark times. Probably in large part because of my own sinfulness in my life. I mean, I won't go into details and elaborate on that, but just to say that, you know, in my past I committed egregious, even seemingly unconscionable sins that, you know, left deep scars, deep seeds that ruined a large part of my life. But I kept it under wraps and kept it covered. And you know, when the Lord finally brought it home to me, you know, I threw myself at His mercy, and you know, and for a while, you know, there was some release for a while, for a little bit. But that Satan is out there, and he's lurking, and he's walking to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And I'm convinced now, as I was then, that the Lord turned me over to myself for a while and turned me over to Satan. And when I say dark, I would lay awake on my bed at night. I would fall into restless sleep. Restless. I would have dreams that would bring the strongest bodybuilder to his knees in a second. There was one in particular. As I lay on my bed that night and fell into a restless sleep, I opened my eyes in my dream, and all around me, all I could see was barrenness. And it was as if I was in a valley, and it was dry. And I saw skeletons and bones all around me. And I felt the most detached, most lonesome, most harrowed, dark feeling you could ever feel, imaginable. And in my dream, a man stood beside, alone, television now sitting on a table, and he had a videotape in his hand. He said, "I'm going to show you this tape." And I knew that couldn't be good. And he said, "This is hell. This is where you're going, and I'm going to show it to you." And as he went to stick it into the VCR, I cried out in my dream, and I said, "No, no." And I felt in my soul, in my bones, even in my dream, that that was where I was going, and I didn't want to see it, because if I did, I felt I would never come back. And I awoke from my dream. And if you've ever seen somebody in a seizure, my fists were clenched by my side. I was rigid as a board. And at that time, me and Abraham were sleeping in the same bed, and my jaws were clenched together. And as I awoke, I elbowed Abraham and said, "Wake up." And I told him my dream. And he said, "You're just dreaming. Go back to sleep." I don't think I went back to sleep for the rest of the night. But I got up out of my bed because I couldn't sleep. And as I'd done many times before, and I went out to my car and just sat in my car. And I banged on the steering wheel and said, "God, why me? Why me? Why do I have to have these kind of dreams? I know I've done wrong in my life. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things you shouldn't do. I throw myself at your mercy. I confess my sin to you. Why do I have to go through this? Why can't I get any relief from it? Can you make it stop? Just make it stop. What is it? What else do I need to learn?" It's probably been a dozen years. I'm still learning. I still hadn't learned. Because even right now, there's things in my life I need to fix. But even right now, I'm still dealing with that same old devil. I'm still dealing with old Satan. And he comes in there and he lurks and he works. in ways that aren't good. And he messes with my mind and toys with me on a daily basis. And he makes me feel afraid. He makes me feel angry. He makes me feel in ways that you don't need to feel. But even recently, and I've talked to Brother Timothy about this. And, you know, and I won't go into certain areas of it, but it's because the time is not right, and maybe sometime, but old devil was working with me, and I just was in, had been in fear, and Timothy had been preaching those sermons on fear. And that blessed my soul when I heard those, and I took those nuggets throughout that week, and old Satan was just at me at every turn, every day. And I was latching on to bits that I could remember and running that through my mind. And that, you know, I finally broke down and called Mama one day at work on my break and, you know, told her what was going on. And she said, well, just go to the scriptures. And I said, I've been in the scriptures. And she said, well, you know what I do when I get that way? I get that way sometimes too. She said, just start praising the Lord. Start singing songs of praise and tell that old Satan to get behind you. Just shout out to God. So that's what I did. I commenced to singing and praising as I was going about the rest of my day, and he got behind me for the rest of that day. I say that day because he's been there every day since. Some days are better and some days are worse. What exactly the Lord has put me here for on this earth, I don't know. I've been saved too many times from death in my life to be standing here right now. That ain't no lie. So I don't know what he has in store. But, you know, I need prayer as much as anybody does. And I pray for this church most every day. Sometimes I call out members by name. But, you know, there's a good number of us and I can't always remember all of us. So I pray for us as a church, as a group. So that's all I got to say.